My internet. Okay.
Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for October 1st, 2023.
Hello, everybody.
Okay. Hey, Danny, good to see you. All right. Karen Eileen.
Present and accounted for.
Yes. Cashflow Tiger has lots of good questions and lots of lovely victories. So let's begin.
Oh, Christine, I don't want to interrupt, but I just something through because I was late to the game realizing this was happening today. So I just wanted you to know that there is something from me just from a few minutes ago.
There is there? Okay. I usually.
Or at some point, maybe when we refresh.
Okay, yeah.
Just wanted to let you know.
Put your
Not
hand up so I don't forget. And then we
Not
will.
to cut you off, Karen
Thank you,
Eileen.
Danny.
I'm all about the generosity
Let's
here.
just
We're all
start
good.
over. All right. You sent the email about the propo Oh, very bad. Okay. Karen Eileen, Cashflow Tiger, voiceover coaching with super focus on audio brilliance and tech. That's what she does. Actress, powerhouse performer, sings. It's crazy. Okay. So, victories. I sent the email about the proposed cash plus time trade, right, for the potential client involving class and social media and reels. That was a great discussion from last session, if anyone wants to go back and hear that. No response yet. Feel good about the email. Did not make yourself crazy over it. Just hit send. That is a huge victory. I'm so excited.
That was
Regardless of
ginormous.
the outcome, that felt like a win. 100%. And you seem to have enough bandwidth to explore a few possible cash creating avenues that actually feel fun. And these include Amazon influences and affiliate program, as well as selling original stuff on Etsy and Kindle and stuff like that. Stay tuned. Okay, great. Okay. So, question number one. I feel like I've asked the same question a few times. It's still not anchored for some reason. Not a problem. Totally understand. You have no idea how many times I've gone back to Miata and been like, okay, I know that we just talked about this. I need to talk it through again. How do I map out a strategy for phase two of your cash creation process? Phase one was to get enough cash coming in as quickly and kind of consistently as possible to cover all your minimums. And you're there. Congratulations.
I'm going to call myself there. It moves around. We're going to call it there.
It always moves around, but you are basically like not in that same phase that you were before, where it was just like, it's just dead. It's just piling up.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Money has been coming in. Okay, great. So phase two seems like it needs to be a full-time or part-time W-2 job that's creative in some way so I can have much more predictable cash flow, have more ease to pursue some of those creative things. Does phase two need a dollar amount? How to set that dollar amount, given that you have debt that you are vanishing? And by that, I think you mean paying down, right?
Yes, I like that van the word vanishing.
Vanishing. I love Do I set a time limit for the job? Like I'll stay here a year and keep looking for phase three and blah, blah, blah. Okay. So that kind of bleeds into your second question. So I'm just going to do it all at once.
Cool.
So, where do you put your energies for phase two? You wrote, I have enough job experience to look in the areas of copywriting, consumer tech support training, customer service, voice training and tech, voiceover casting, production. In the copywriting area, employers very rightly want a portfolio or links to samples. So I'm gently constructing all of that. And it's a long-term project given my bandwidth. Gathering old and new samples across media, blah, blah, blah. You've been exploring jobs, and a friend told you about a teaching contracts that are linked to equity at certain schools, and you're still researching that. It might require location and or a master's. Thoughts, best practices now that you are looking at phase two. Okay. So the first thing I want to say is that you are not switching careers. You are looking for income. And I say this for everybody listening. So, Karen Eileen, you have a full career that you would like to pursue and only be doing. And that is the performing, perhaps coaching as well, but just the, I'm a performer.
Mm-hmm.
That's the career. So there is still some energy that we want to be able, you know, to have, to put towards that. That's the goal.
Yeah.
So when you have an actual career that you would like to be pursuing, you're not looking for a second career, something that would require you to get a master's degree.
Okay. Because
that is you investing money upfront. Or even if it's taking on more debt to then do that, to then the thing to be the secondary income. We don't necessarily need to call it a side biz. It could just be a secondary income stream from employment or something. But anything that is secondary to a primary career, that secondary source of income needs to, it's best when it's like more short-term than long-term, meaning I'm going to draw from the skills I already have. I'm going to draw from the connections I already have.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it might be entering a training program, but a training program that is designed and structured to also include placement in a job after the training program.
Okay.
Very different than a master's degree. Because you graduate the master's degree, there's no job necessarily waiting for you.
It allows we you know to that's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Different jobs, you know? So you are looking for easy, meaning easy energy-wise for you to do, secondary income.
Consistent would be high on that want list. And so easy and consistent.
Meaning like you don't have to go learn this huge thing. You don't have to do this huge thing or pay all of this money. Like that's available to you. And because you have a career that you love and that's stimulating, your secondary source of income doesn't necessarily have to be stimulating and wonderful and daisy. Like that's what your main career is supposed to be. We are looking for you to be able to pay rent, pay bills, pay down debt with income. That's phase two.
Okay. This is important conversation because I don't know who the member is. I need to go back and listen. You might know, but there's a member of this community in Miata, and you have both used her as an example. Someone who now, like, who went through a training program and now has like a 100K tech job and flexibility due to her series regulars. And I'm like, I didn't even know that unicorn existed. So I'm like, am I meant to be looking for that? Like something that will carry me and sustain me no matter what's going on in the acting universe? That to me feels like, is it required that I put down the acting is not the right word, but like take all the energy that I was using from the acting and put it for a short time into the job stuff. And you know me and I know me and I'm going to be unhappy if I do that. So.
Yeah. And there's more than one way to do it. Yeah. So you're talking about Courtney. And Courtney. For anybody listening, if you want to hear her story, she's on one of our Abundance Bound podcast episodes.
Hey, shout out Courtney. You have inspired me. I have not even met you and so inspiring. Yeah.
So at the time that Courtney did that, it was she learned how to use a particular computer software that was in demand.
I see.
So she took a training program and also had some connections that enabled her to get a job out of that training program into that kind of like field where they needed people with that. So there it was like, she wasn't doing this on spec, like a master's degree.
Got it.
Hopefully. Yeah. And yes, she paid for it, but there was a high probability of employment after that.
That's very cool.
One way to go. So now she has a skill set that, as long as AI doesn't take it away from her, has a place in the market.
Okay.
That's one way to do it. Another way to do it that might be better for you is just a job, getting a job, any job, and then looking for a better job, and then getting that better, like a job, income, income. And the reason I say that for you is because you have had bites over the past 12 months of like, ooh, can you do this for a couple thousand? Can you do this? You have coaching, like you have all this other stuff that is available for you to also grow.
Yes.
But we need to alleviate the stress and the chaos of you not having consistent money.
Yeah.
And your consistent money doesn't have to cover everything.
That was my next question.
You have this other stuff coming in.
Okay.
But you need some consistent money. And for a while, maybe that's a full-time, I'm just throwing this out there, like a full-time job at Whole Foods that just brings in some money.
Yeah.
That lets you breathe and go, what is available as maybe pays a little bit better than Whole Foods, and then you can switch to that. Or I don't think I need to work full time at Whole Foods. Maybe I could get half time at Whole Foods and then grow this other thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But what Whole Foods, and that's just a symbol in our conversation.
No, I've thought about it. I've brought it in here for sure. So
it is providing you consist. You go, you show up, you do the things that they ask you to do. You get some money. You go home. You don't think about Whole Foods when you're not at Whole Foods.
Oh, my God. That's going to be amazing wherever I land. I'm so used to like thinking 24/7 about all the things. So
exactly. And when you have another career that you're trying to build, you can't be doing two of those things. When Courtney was working that program, that's all she was doing. It was like 10-hour days.
I heard that. She made it so that she could take the time.
Her whole life. And it was intensive. It was for like 6 to 8 months or something like that, but it was intense and it was everything.
Yeah.
But so she wasn't growing anything on the side of that.
Gotcha.
That's one way to do it. Mm-hmm. But another way to do it is just like, okay, let me get some job that just has a steady stream of income that I don't have to think about. I don't have to worry about. I can shut my brain off. That doesn't take every last ounce of energy. And then I come home. And I do all other things I need and want to do.
So it's not the copywriting and the portfolio, the long-term project. That's not what we're talking about here. That's like a phase three or beyond kind of thing. Okay. Like,
you need money.
Yes, I do. I do, universe. Yes,
blue
I do.
Blue collar. Then you can switch to white collar. I mean,
got it.
In those terms.
No. But that helps me sort of the energetic of it helps me to hold it differently. Okay.
Just make widgets for somebody.
Okay. That's clearer. And I just a tiny, tiny follow-up question that I think will be quick. When I'm mapping out my stuff, and I'm still working with Elena to get good at Quicken, I'm getting ready to have my second session with her. There's my family members, they're subsidizing certain things in my life right now. So I'm like, do I add all those things back in for phase two? Or like, when do I act as if I'm paying for all the things so I can set up the model so that I can pay for all the things? Like at the moment, it's not factored in.
And so why would you not want to do it that way? Where you can
Because I guess I started in crisis. And so I just wanted to cover the things that I absolutely had to cover and say yes and thank you to the family help. That was phase one. Uh-huh. So phase two is like, do I act as if I'm paying full rent here so that I can ramp up to paying full rent? Is that phase two or is that somewhere down the line? Like, I'm just not sure how to.
I think that, and when you say that, you're saying like.
Is it confusing?
The answer to, no.
Okay.
This is basically, are you willing to get the big enough muscles to manage your mind during the time period where you're not earning enough to yet cover all of the things, even though you don't have to pay for them. But on paper, if you're going to put on paper, like, okay, I actually need to be bringing in $6,000 a month and I'm currently three.
Yeah.
If you can manage, which, you know, it's good to build those muscles. If you can mind looking at that and not beating yourself up about it or sliding the level, it should just be, and you want to energetically detach from those numbers when you look at them. You're going to have emotions, but you don't need to give it energy like, oh my God, and now you're down for a day because you did your numbers where you're yet not there. Instead, you can look at your numbers and go, I'm only going to look at them and tell myself how proud I am that I'm being brave and looking at them.
Okay.
And that I'm every day I can see all this stuff clearly of where I need to get to. I'm making forward progress. If you can just start talking positively to yourself when you see those numbers, then yeah, I think it's a really good idea to start acting as if, so you can see where you're trying to go.
Oh boy. Okay. And
you can practice speaking kindly to yourself.
Okay.
About it. Ooh. In your situation.
It makes it warm in here.
You're really turning this big ship that is your life in a very specific direction.
Yeah.
Which is autonomy, solvency, being able to live in whatever state you want to live in.
Yeah.
You know, moving back to California, maybe, like, so that's where you want to go.
Yeah.
So it's like, you've already put on the big girl pants. Now you just, so making this chart to monitor it, that's just part of it. That's just like, okay, yeah, here's where we're going. Here is where we're going.
Okay. I'm gonna try it. See how it goes. Yeah,
I would. Like, yeah. I would encourage everybody to do it. Because it's like it's easier to work out if you build yourself a home gym. Because it's right there.
Yes.
And so if you have this structure where it's like, here's what I would need for rent, here's what I would need for that, and there I can see where I'm not yet there. Doing the workouts. You do the workouts, and that's great.
This is really good, because without the support of you and the rest of this curriculum, like, I wasn't even ready to have that thought when I came into this program. So the fact that I'm asking now is, I can go, yeah, I'm like asking about
exactly.
It.
Look at that lovely self-talk.
Isn't that nice? I'm making progress.
And I'm looking at my growth, and I have grown.
Yes.
And having fluctuating income, you know, where it's not, you're not hitting your numbers all the time, that is very different than backsliding.
Okay.
That's not backsliding. That's called income that goes up and down. My income goes up and down. Miata's income goes up and down.
Wow.
That is very different than, like, I'm backsliding because nope.
Okay.
It's really hard to backslide when your eye is on the prize of what's ahead.
I'm going to bring that question back, because I feel like I have some clarity I want there in that difference. That's really great. Thank you, Christine.
Good work.
Yeah. Awesome. Work.
Danny, what's up? Danny, tell us who you are, what you're up to, since I don't have that information right in front of me.
Who are you? I'm Danny Diet. And I am a full-time TV and film actor when the strike's not happening. So I have been making almost all my income with that for the last 4 years, with the exception of, I'm also an audition coach. And some of my clients talked me into holding some classes. So I've taught some classes in the last like year and a half for technique. Now, I have to catch you up to speed a little bit, Christine, because Miata knows what happened, what transpired recently since the strike. But it's good stuff. I made the decision in the power cycle, Miata would say, to cut my lease in Atlanta. I was feeling pretty done with that chapter of my life in general. I was just sitting there kind of having a conversation with God anyway for a while, being like, are you making me uncomfortable here? Like, what's going on? Like, I just knowing that there was change coming and really waiting to feel like I knew in my gut what I was supposed to do. And I decided to take advantage of the strike to come home and be with my family and my childhood friends. So I'm in Michigan now. My parents have an extra lake house, thankfully. So me and my pup Link have been at the lake house, and I'm just paying like the utilities, which is roughly like $300 I'll be paying a month instead of like $1,650 that I was paying in Atlanta. So that's what's going on. I immediately got into substitute teaching at my old school district. So I kind of put those things in place when I was just back here visiting. Like, I came home to visit in June and I didn't leave for a month and a half because I just like didn't feel like going back to Atlanta. I didn't feel like there's anything back there. And I was like, maybe I should go and break that lease. So that's what I did and came back. But while I was here the first time around, I started the process of applying through the Edge of Staff program to be a sub. And so now I'm subbing 5 days a week. It's not like a ton of money, but I'm bringing in, after taxes, I'm bringing in like $2,400 a month, which is enough to cover my bills. And then all of my residuals that are coming in from TV and film are being stacked in my Wealthfront account right now to gain that in that high yield interest. It's like at 5.3% in the Wealthfront account,
Nice.
so that I can pay off some credit cards, because I have like 14,000-ish, somewhere in the $14,000 range of credit card debt. And so I'll be able to pay off at least 10 of that. I mean, I have, like, just to tell you, like, when this next big residual comes in, which is 4K, that's like net, I'll have like $21,500 in my account. And so, like, I can pay off. I could pay off all of it, because that's just money that's sitting there that's, I'm still having my $2,400 to cover my bills every month, you know? I don't want to spend all of it. So, and then my dog got really sick. So he had a pinched nerve in his back, and now he's got two eye ulcers. And if he ends up having to get an MRI, if his back doesn't, it's good now. But like, if he has another backslide with that, like, just an MRI is 3 to 4K. So it's another reason I don't spend all my money, and why I was going to ask you how you and Miata feel about care credit if that were ever the situation. Because care credit, I heard, like, doesn't have any interest. You just have to, it's kind of like a payment plan. It's a credit card to put your medical on. People do their human medical expenses and then vet medical expenses, I guess, but there's no interest rate for a while.
For a
So
while, right? For a while.
I think for potentially the whole run of it is what somebody told me, but you only have a certain amount of time to pay it off. Like, they give you like a period of time to pay it off, and then you do payments or something. I don't know.
Okay. Because they have to be making their money somewhere.
Yeah, that's what I would think. But the girl at the vet yesterday told me that she has it and there's no interest on it. But I have to look into it further. But I'm also sure Miata has probably dealt with it with somebody, was my guess. But anyway, that wasn't even my question. But that's my up to speed. That's the update of what's going on with my finances and my life. And then I'm
Awesome.
moving to New York City whenever I feel comfortable with my dog's health. Enough to go once the strike is over, because I'm not going to go to New York if he's not healthy, because I don't have the support there that I need. Because he like needs meds 3 times a day, and when I'm at work, my retired father is coming over and helping. You know what I mean? So, yeah, and I like being here because I haven't gotten to see my friends and family for decades. I moved away when I was 18, so
Oh, wow. Such a smart decision. During the strike, like what a great opportunity you took.
happy that I had this as an option, because if I was living under the same roof as my parents, would not have been an option. So, but my question that I had sent in to you, and I don't know if it came through, is basically like around money mindset, which is I know that I have money trauma from growing up. I'm just wondering if there's a pattern that you've seen in people who don't necessarily have a ton of fire in their belly around making more. Like, I just don't have a desire to make a lot of money. I mean, I would like a lot of money, but I don't have a desire to, like some people do, to like chase money and to expand my money. I know that it's necessary and I would like to have financial freedom because I have like a brother who's very wealthy and works in tech, and mm-hmm. I am very envious of his financial freedom. I only recently did it kind of dawn on me that I'm like, ugh, I just hate watching him be on vacations every, like literally weekly. He's in another country because he can work from anywhere. And I do wish that I had financial freedom to do things. I don't like feeling strapped all the time. I don't like that if Link does need spinal surgery, I don't have 10K in the bank to just get it for him, you know, like where I wouldn't stress about letting 10K go, you know? I'm just wondering if you've noticed a pattern, and I'm sure it's different for everybody, so this might be a dumb question, but of people who just don't have that fire, like, is there a mindset that you find is there's a commonality? Like I know I need to delve into this with my therapist, but like, do I feel like I don't deserve money or something? Like what it, you know what I mean? Like, why is that there is really kind of, and how do I work around that?
And do you, have you identified any links between the past trauma stuff and why you then, this desire might be muted in you or just not something?
There's like, there's a money avoidance with me because it was like the singular thing that created hell in my household growing up. And even still to this day, like my parents fight about money. It's just always a conversation. My mom is always saying, I don't have any money. I don't make any money. And I'm like, well, you also don't have any bills. I don't know why you're acting like you don't have money when you're married to my father who has a large retirement, like stuff like that, where it's just been a constant argument my whole life. And so I think that I've just buried my head in the sand. Like, even I joined the program in March and I still have not gone through 3 months of statements to like see what my spending really is. I will avoid it. I'm also ADHD. So like, you know, I'm either all in on that task or I'm going to avoid it for 8 years or almost 40, because I'm 40. I'm going to be 40. But like, I am just truly avoidant. Like I know roughly, like I know what my bills are and I know what my, I've determined like what my more inconsistent bills are that I need to cover and stuff. And I've broken all that down and I know what my rough monthly budget is, but I also like haven't tracked my actual like spending, but I don't buy anything other than like food and stuff, but I still know it's important to do it and I haven't.
Okay.
I know that was a lot.
No, it's awesome. Okay, so there's three areas for you to examine and then decide what from each area would kind of help you with this relationship with money that you have. The first area is your ADD.
Mm-hmm.
So you do not have to go into specifics with me, but like, are you being educated around the treatment of that and the support around that, meaning tools and helping you function and possibly medication, like that kind of stuff? Have you explored the world of your ADD?
I only was recently screened for ADHD this like past year, and I screened super high from my therapist.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized I've been functioning with this my entire life, obviously. And I've always like coped with it, however I've coped with it. And I was always like all A student, all that stuff. So I don't want to be medicated. I know that for sure.
Okay.
I don't see a reason to need to be medicated. I already do quite a few of the things that people with ADHD would do for like their mental health and their brain support and supplements and like all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So yeah, I already do a lot of what, like her and I have gone over things, and I've already like, those are just things that I was doing naturally without knowing that that's what I needed for my ADHD. It was like, mm-hmm. I think I was also like, I was already intuitively doing things that I knew would help me.
Okay. So one of the things that you can do now is There are a lot of podcasts about ADHD and copious amount of stuff on the web, but I would start Googling ADHD and money. Because they're what I'm looking for, what I would want to know is, are there patterns that a lot of people have experienced around their relationship with money, how they interact with money, and then have people found tools and different ways to help with that? My guess is that it's a thing. And
plus people, trauma on top of it, probably.
Well, that's the second thing. So the first thing is the ADHD. Is there anything inherent in the ADHD with money that people have already identified as like, oh yeah, this is a thing, but this is how you can help with that.
Right.
So that's the first area I would want you to explore. The second area is the trauma piece. And unwinding anything there and looking at how you can reformulate the synapses and the links that you have made and the patterns of that served you super well in childhood and to get you through that situation. Like, I'm just going to disconnect from this. I'm just not going to have a relationship with it. Like, and you need to, and that worked for a while and it's not working anymore. As all of our childhood stuff does, it just doesn't work at some point. And then we have to go, oh, okay, now I have to address it as an adult.
Yeah.
The third part of this is the only part that I can help you with. And that's the, and Miata as well. That's kind of the coaching part of this. Mm-hmm. And that's really about the stories that you're going to tell yourself about money now and building a new relationship with it. Now, you can't just plop the coaching part on top of the ADHD part and be like, yeah, we'll just mindset this shit out. And you can't plop it coaching on top of trauma and be like, well, that'll work. It's like, no. So I think I would encourage you to address all three of these.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Like, just that.
Yeah, I started thinking to myself, oh my God, when you break it down, I'm spending $80 a month to be part of, you know, Abundance Bound, and I'm not doing it. And that's like, I get on calls and I like can talk about stuff and I figured out like, okay, how am I going to like, where am I going to put my money? And I'm doing certain things like making decisions from the power cycle and all that kind of stuff for myself. And I'm still going to be able to pay things off. But getting rid of my debt is only one part of me having a good relationship with money, is, you know what I mean? And so I also am like, yeah, that's been on my mind. Like, oh my God, am I wasting this whole year? Because I've also had to have a lot of transitions of like, you know, still dealing with grief and then having to move and then my dog's being sick and I'm gonna have to move again during this. And I'm just like feeling overwhelmed starting a new job as a sub. And so I'm like, I'm also feeling overwhelmed. And this is the thing that's taking the back burner of like actually doing the program, because because teaching elementary school kids is exhausting. God bless teachers. I have zero energy at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So now I'm like harping on myself about that too, because I'm like, oh my God, I'm basically wasting $80 a month.
But are you?
Not fully, but in part. Yeah, for sure. Because I'm not doing the actual program. I'm not watching the videos or any of that shit.
But what that $80 a month is doing is it's keeping you connected to this aspect of your life that you're trying to get better at. I'm not trying to sell this program or like, you should stay. No, no. But sometimes for periods of time, we just staying in something keeps a thread of connection to, right, I don't want to let this just go.
Right.
And yeah, so the little like, hey, maybe you should see this thing, or maybe you should watch a video, or maybe you should attend this call.
Yeah.
That little hey, that the $80 does to you every time you see it on your statement is a good thing. It's a reminder. It's like, okay. Then the other part is, okay, I don't want to feel like I'm wasting $80. I want to feel like I'm actually taking advantage of this thing that I have in the slice of time that you have available. You have to be really realistic about the other things you have going on. But you might ask yourself, what do I need in order to add some gravity, a gravitational pull to this material so that I actually turn my attention to it every so often, once a month? Do you need other people? And you're all doing the same thing at the same time, kind of like you could, there's power hours here, but you could do your own power hour thing with somebody, or you could start the little ADHD subset of this where it's like, okay, guys, we gotta, you know.
I was doing the power hours and it was helping, but now with my schedule, I can't.
Right. So, but if you thought, because that, I think that I would assume power hours would be very helpful for you, because there's a thing in ADHD called body doubling. Have you ever heard that?
Body doubling? The only way I can get anything done, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you know that that's a good tool, but you're not available when that tool is being offered, create that tool for yourself. Go, I need this. I need it from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. on every third Saturday. So that's when I'm going to find people who also can do it. That, like, part of like making your life work, for lack of a better phrase, is asking yourself, what do I need? And then figuring out how to get it, how to make it for yourself, and to bend life towards you rather than bending yourself towards life. Like, oh, I guess those are the power hours, so those are when I have to do it and I can't. No, I'm going to make my own thing that I can use on when it fits for me.
Okay.
That's just a thought.
No, I'm with you. I think it's a good idea. I'm just genuine. Like, I might have to cut back substitute teaching, because when I say that, thank God my dog's on crate rest for the next 4 to 6 weeks, because I come home and I literally fall asleep, like, when I get here, and then I'll wake up at the end of the night and be like, oh, I need to go into the bedroom. Like, I don't even talk to people during the week now. Like, so yeah. I know I can't do power hours during the week. Yeah. I am so burnt with my energy and bandwidth at the end of the day of wrangling 4 to 6 year olds, that, or even if I end up with a seventh grade class or something, like, you're literally, like, not yelling all day, but you're pretty much wrangling energy all day. You're in fight or flight mode all day, assessing risk. It's like, I try and use my weekends to recharge, but yeah, I'm going to have to just schedule something on a weekend, because it's the only way I'll get it done. Cause I know for sure I won't get it done during the week.
Yes. And we have to be real. I 100% believe you.
Yeah.
100%. You're just like, crash. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Your weekends are all the time that you have for everything else. So it's really about always being realistic.
Yeah.
You want to set the bar low so you can clear it and feel good about yourself, rather than like, oh, so even if you are going to use what's available in abundance bound for a certain amount of hours once a month.
Yeah.
That's it. But that's better than nothing.
Yeah, that's true.
And you might look at, because the coaching realm for what you're bringing right now, it really is about you creating a real relationship with money that is very different from the one you've had so far.
Yeah.
That money is on your side, that money is there to work with you, not against you. Is it How have you been treating money? You've kind of been ignoring it. Like if it was a romantic partner, how would that romance be? Like, I don't need much of you. I want you to kind of stay away. Don't bug me. Money. Oh, okay. Like that's not a very, hey, let's do this together and let's grow together and let's have a future together kind of thing. And what's weird is that we all come in to this lifetime that we're living with different blocks. And some people have blocks around money, some people have blocks around relationships, some people are not able to have children, and that's definitely what they want. Like we all have something or some things. So you have this thing with money that needs to be massaged and worked out a little bit and redefined. But there is a lot that is potent work for you to do just around how you're thinking about it. And the more you can get yourself to dance with it and invite it in and label it in different ways than you have in the past, the more that is going to help you with whatever you do in the ADA container, ADHD container, and whatever you do in the trauma work container. It's like all three need to be kind of going at the same time because they will all feed into one another. You might look into the work of Tosha Silver. She's an author. She has a book called It's Not Your Money. And it's all about mindset and looking at that. And you don't have to run out and buy the book. You might be able to get it through the library, but also just she gives talks. Whenever someone suggests a book to you, a good place to start is going online and watching them give talks about their book. When an author comes out with a book, they start doing all these interviews. So she's been on interviewed, and you can just sort of see if you like her vibe, see if you like what she's saying. I know she did a whole interview. I think it was at Google that's online about It's Not Your Money, but it'll give you a kind of a gist, and then you can decide if you want to buy the book. But she has another book called Outrageous Openness, which might also be good. And I'm especially recommending these to you because you already have a strong intuitive sense. You have part of the reason you've been able to cope so well for so long already is because your intuition leads you well. Like, okay, I've been able to kind of keep things afloat because I can intuitively kind of do that. That's great. That means you have a connection and you can strengthen that connection. So this is within your grasp. You're tired right now. You have a very draining source of income.
So tired. I know
Yeah.
when you said the thing to Karen Eileen about it not being an energy sucker, I was like, well, I chose wrong. Although I love kids. I mean, I do. It's a different. It's a different thing that I didn't realize. Like, even though when I say like you're in fight or flight all day, people are probably like, no, you're not. Nobody's shooting at you. But your body doesn't know the difference is the thing, right? Your mind and your body don't know the difference. I am looking for risk constantly. And my body, when I get home at the end of the day, I realize like it all dawned on me one day. I'm like, oh my God, my body thinks that I'm like evading gunpoint or something. I don't know, because a kid might be choking or, whatever. So, I will say though that after having joined the program, I have less anxiety thinking about money. Like, I'm not anxious about my money. I'm just avoiding certain parts of dealing with it. I'm not avoiding it completely like I used to. Like, I am feeling a little bit more empowered. So I know that like that piece of it is helpful because I have people like you and Miata and the community to talk to. I felt empowered knowing that like I have my money in a high yield savings account. When I talk to somebody, you know what I mean? Because like I've made about $90 this month that I just from interest. That's great. So, it's like I do have to give myself credit for the small pieces that are chip that I've chipped away at already to just get my money kind of in more order than it would have been, because I wasn't doing any of those things before, you know.
Yeah.
But I appreciate the recommendations, and I am going to look at those because I'm a podcast listener anyway, so I hadn't really thought about looking up ADHD podcasts, and and I'll talk to my therapist about digging more into that particular trauma. We've got many that we've been working on, but I think that in order for me to feel good about going to New York and moving forward in this program, I think that maybe I need to prioritize the money trauma right now.
And there
So
might be a specific modality of therapy for you to specifically work on the money piece. Like, I don't know if EMDR would be helpful.
well, that's what we do, but the problem
Oh,
is
okay.
she's in Atlanta, and you can't do EMDR virtually, so I have to try and find an EMDR therapist here. But yeah, I've been doing EMDR for a while.
Okay, great. Yeah, that's the thing I've heard that is
It's a great,
very
oh,
useful.
it's a great trauma therapy. I don't know where you guys just went.
Yeah.
Oh,
Yeah.
there.
There
Okay.
you go.
Yeah, but thank you very much. I appreciate it. I'm gonna look into all of this stuff, and I wrote all of it down in Tasha Silver. That's
Yeah.
gonna be a good spot for me to start.
Excellent. Excellent. You're doing really good work.
There's a
Definitely give yourself some grace. And this is just you have this job for a period of time.
Yeah, and I don't have to be a district sub where I have to report 5 days a week. I can go down to being the kind of sub that's like everybody really knows about, which is like you pick up if you want to and you don't, but you make $30 less a day. So right now I'm just trying to be like, I can commit to 5 days a week because I'm making, $150 more a week that way, or whatever it
Yeah,
is.
you just have to keep balancing that, contrasting it with like, do I need though a little more space? Is the 150 worth, like, yeah, just keep asking yourself that question and making the adjustments as needed.
When auditions come back, this isn't going to be possible because hopefully I'll be auditioning and booking again.
Yeah.
Yeah, but for now, I feel like, and while I'm living in my parents' place rent free, I feel like I need to be at work every day, or they're going to be like, excuse me.
Well, there's different kinds of work. I would just like to point that out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you.
Appreciate
You're very welcome.
it.
All
Thank you
right.
else for listening to all of that. Jesus. Take the wheel. All right, thanks.
Okay. Anise, are you here? Yes. Anise is a cash flow cat. She is a wonderful performer, dancer, choreography, and her side business is intimacy consent trainings. Love it, love it. You have some victories. Hello, good to see you. I wrote, I have just stars and happy faces all over at the end of all these sentences in your what you wrote. I was like, yes. Yes, happy face. Yes, star. I was just very delighted all that you wrote. So, you were awarded a diversity scholarship with UCB and decided to sign up for musical improv 101. Oh my gosh, pushing you out of your comfort zone. I love it. And you feel like you're making strides in finding some balance and making sure that you're feeding artistic goals as well as business goals. And that's the name of the game. So happy to hear that. Okay, so you decided to focus, this is what you wrote. You decided to focus in for the rest of the year on intimacy work in the industry and applying to substitute teach to bring in some money. You've also decided to simplify and no longer put efforts towards wedding choreography and the body butter biz. And leave the body butter to times when it's more, you're more resourced, you are more resourced. That makes really good sense. Only offering upon request, only if you have the capacity and the resources and the time. And I think that's a great decision. You're developing consent-based trainings and have already secured one for November. It's with the school that you do improv with now, and you and the school have established the terms of working together over email. And it brings up a question of contracts when doing these trainings. And you're wondering if the contract is usually provided by the institution or should you have a standard one that you use for future trainings? So it's always good to have to just have your own stuff because it keeps everybody on the same page that you want them to be on. So do you have an idea of what you would put in this like agreement?
Not really. I mean, for intimacy, like when I'm on set, I do tend to use like a standard crew and I'll adjust for mainly for time, like to make sure if I'm getting paid overtime. But yeah, doing a training, I'm like, actually wouldn't know what other considerations to include besides maybe the time of pay. Like for the main reason I feel like a contract would be helpful is so that I know I'm going to get paid by this time. Or we establish like when I'm getting paid, or we have it in writing, how much and when I'm getting paid, because I hate chasing money.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
So I would just think of it as like every time you book one of these jobs, you're going to draw up a one-page agreement that just is a restating of everything that you guys have agreed to. I'm going to deliver the training on this day. It's going to cost this much. You're going to pay me in this format by this date. If the payment's split in half, like whatever, or you're going to pay me before the date, or you have like 3 days after, like, yeah, just spell it all out. An agreement doesn't have to be like this whole page full of terms and words. And it can just be like five things. It's like, this is what we agree to. It can be as simple as that. But what it does is it puts it down in writing in case there's ever a disagreement or someone needs to be reminded of the terms. And when you sign it and they sign it, and you guys take pictures and email it back to one another so that you have a copy of, you know, it's all, then it's just sort of like, if there was ever, you know, something that happened, it's like, well, we both put eyes on this because we both signed it. So let's, you know, handle this like adults kind of thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it would be great because everybody is very busy.
Mm-hmm.
And even though you've like talked on the phone or exchanged an email about the terms, oh my gosh. If you have to claw back through emails, it's like, hey, for our convenience, and I just put this all on one page. Mm-hmm. I've signed it. I'd like you to sign it. Just take a picture of it and send it back.
Yeah. I like phrasing it that way because the teacher I'm working with is like our improv coach. So he's like super, really insular in this instance. So it's like, I wanted to keep it kind of chill, but still have something. So I like just saying like, for your convenience, I've drafted this. And
I would encourage you because, okay, you are giving a training. Mm-hmm. And whenever someone hires you for a service, they're actually hiring you to lead them through this process. Mm-hmm. So they're hiring you. Lead us through this process from the beginning.
Gotcha.
And part of this process for you is that we sign an agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And what's fascinating is you making this request of them is totally exactly what you're teaching in your course. Is like you make an agreement and then everybody honors the agreement and you take the time to check in. That's what I took a moment. I wrote this all down for us and let's sign it. That is literally another form of what you're teaching as an intimacy coordinator.
Yeah.
So if someone's hiring you to teach on that, then leading by example and doing this type of business together is part of the whole deal.
Yeah.
And it's really important, especially we think, oh, well, we need to sign a contract or an agreement when we're working with someone we don't know. I think it's almost more important when you're working with someone you do know, because it can get too casual.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, of course Anise will pay you. Like, you can trust me. Like, no, 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 no. You'll get busy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to chase you.
Yeah. And that preserves the relationship. So.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like that mindset. Thinking of it in that way helps me too. So, yeah.
Yeah. And it helps you stay in a very calm, powerful place of like, oh, this is just part of the whole thing that I stand for as
yeah.
an intimacy coordinator. Clear communication. Yeah. Cool, cool. And then, so, second question. You are moving on into reaching out to more organizations and schools to establish this workshop. Besides your intimacy training and your teaching experience, is there anything else that you'd need to highlight to show your competency on like a one-page website or a flyer? I don't know. I mean, I think those are the two things
yeah.
that you would say. I've been trained as an intimacy coordinator and I have experience teaching in various modes.
Mm-hmm.
Choreography is teaching
mm-hmm.
and it's working with a group and it's, you know, group facilitation. I would say intimacy training, teaching experience, and group facilitation experience, because that means you can take a whole group of people on a journey mm-hmm. together, which is exactly what you're doing when you're teaching dance.
Yeah.
You're not gonna end up at the same place at the same beat at the same time. Yeah. And then if you have a testimonial.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you can use testimonials from your wedding choreography clients too. Like, because they can speak to how you taught. Oh, she was so kind and she was just so great. And she, you know, really, it was just a delight to work with her. It's a lovely testimonial.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like those three things plus three testimonials. And I think that's a great one sheet.
Okay, good. Yeah, because I'm like, I think I've been getting a little caught up in like what I'm sending. So I like the idea of, like I was telling myself, you know, we talked like a one pager. Now I'm like, okay, let's just make a one page website. And I'm like, maybe eventually, but I think right now I'm just going to make a one sheet flyer.
Love it. A PDF.
Yeah.
Same thing as a website. It's just, here's the information you need to know.
And like, I can send them my website, my intimacy website already, but I just don't feel like I have the mental capacity to like make a one page website at the time. Maybe that will change.
I think that's a great business decision. And I love that your brain is leading you going like, oh, I don't actually need it because I have the other thing that I can, and I just need a one sheet and that's easier. And let's just get started that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I feel good. I think the decision to simplify has been really helpful. And like knowing those things like are there, but I just don't have to be, I don't have to be with them right now. Yeah.
Yeah. When you're building a little machine that you want to just have running in your life, helping you make money, and the machine you're building are like, I give these trainings. It just takes a little bit of time and attention to build the machine. Once you've built it, then it can sit there. And you got the PDF and you got the thing and you got the thing and your clients are passing you around and referrals are coming in. Yeah. Then you can build another machine if you want to.
Yeah.
But one at a time. And you're going to build this machine and you're going to substitute teach, which is just another stream of income that you don't have to really think about.
Exactly.
As long as you don't do toddlers or whoever Danny's teaching. But yeah, so these I was overjoyed when I got this question sheet, your coaching sheet, because I was just like, so many good decisions you've made, so many good decisions. Yeah. Well done.
Thanks. I'll keep you updated.
Absolutely. Please do. Okay. Cricket, are you here? Cricket rumbling. Okay, I'm just gonna read your victories, which are amazing. And then if you have a question, we can ask the question. So, Cricket is a film festival consultant, and she's a cash flow tiger and a potential new client from a nonprofit agent. A team who came to me by word of mouth reached out to me about consulting for their latest film. They seemed really clear that they were ready to get started, but since I didn't know them, I offered a short Zoom session just to address how I work, how we could work together. In that meeting, it became clear that they had already made some decisions and commitments that are not in alignment with a festival run. And they had tons of questions, and I answered the ones I could that were easy answers. 27 minutes into the conversation, I told them, need to wrap it up. No pressure, but please let me know at their convenience if they're interested in booking your services. They were so nice, and they wrote back later and said they realized they couldn't do a festival run with this film, but would want to with their next one, and told me that they would pay you for your time for an hour-long consultation. Yes. And in this and another interaction that you had this week, you're seeing that you're getting better at time management and setting parameters in a positive yet effective way. Did
Yay.
they pay you?
They will. I think I have to, you know, it's with an institution and there's going to be some brouhaha around getting paid, like W-9, and there's a whole system, but they will. They will.
All right. As long as you said yes, please, thank you. It
Yes.
wasn't like,
Yes. Oh, I said that immediately. I said
okay,
that immediately.
good.
I think that I do have a question that, so when I wrote that, I realized I was against the clock and I was like, I'm not really sure exactly what my question is, but I think I do.
Okay.
So I have really struggled with we've talked about this before, the difference between students and private clients. And I have really struggled with private clients who want more time or are not being mindful of the time. And even though I say multiple times, so we're coming to the end, or we have only 10 minutes, and just railroading right through those polite cues. And I think with these folks this week, and it was two different appointments, two different one that one team I mentioned, and then another woman I've consulted with several times already. I felt like I was just so like friendly and businesslike that they were like, okay, this is how it goes. And so that was really a personal victory for me. Also, I am really freaking busy right now, so like I don't have a lot of time
That helps.
to I don't want to say waste, but I feel like my time is very valuable to me right now. And so I think there's a question that, you know, one of the podcasts that you did, and this may be related to the question that was being addressed when I came on, but one of the podcasts you did was about personality and trauma. It was with a therapist who worked with business people. You know who I'm
Yes.
talking about,
Yes,
right?
I do. I do.
And she was from the South, I think, and I really related to that because, of course, I'm from the South too. And I feel like what's really on my mind right now is how to be an effective leader and how to sort of undo
all the talk in my head that is about not being an authority. And so I feel like I had a really successful week with these clients, and I'm also getting much better at saying to myself, here's what I can and can't do. Also, my birthday was on Friday, and I feel like I am too damn old to deal with a lot of things that I have dealt with at this point.
That's what birthdays are good for. You're like,
I'm like, okay, yeah, that's that I can't deal with. But I do think that there are ways that I could continue to explore how to be, thank you for the birthday wishes, everyone. How I could be more continue to grow my confidence in my expertise and in dealing with clients and pursuing new clients when I start doing that again.
So what might help? Okay, I'm just gonna go real micro for a minute. What might help with the whole our time is running out kind of thing? Because some people don't hear the cues. Their mind is just too wrapped up in all the questions they have. So, and then the way sometimes people talk, because they're stringing their thoughts together, especially if you have a verbal processor, someone who is can only process while they're talking, that help them talking is what's helping them formulate their thoughts. They're not formulating their thoughts and then expressing them to you. They are formulating them in real time. There might not be an opportunity for you to cut to, you're waiting for a good opportunity to cut them off, like to stop, but they're never going to give you that opportunity because their thought is being formulated. There's no end point. So waiting for that like opportune moment, it sometimes does not come. So the muscle then is like 10 minutes to the end of the call, whether it's a half hour, just like you did with those ladies, or if it's an hour, 10 minutes at the 10 minute left mark, you have to jump in and you have to go, Sherry, hold it for a second. I'm going to stop you right there. We're going to put a pin in that, but we have 10 minutes left. And I think a good use of our time is to talk about next steps for us, not next steps for them and their project, because that's another hour. Next steps for us. So I can see that you have a lot of questions still. I can see that there is more for us to talk about. Would you like to schedule another session? Or are you going to take today and just sort of process that and use that? Because that last 10 minutes should be used for decision making. Are we going to do another call? When is that going to happen? Is it not going to happen? Okay, great. Then just take the time that you had. Then you can also say, like, if you record your calls, you can say, great, I'm going to email you with the recording and I'll send you that thing I mentioned. Like, you're just doing the housekeeping of wrapping up so that there is a sense of completion that they leave your session with, instead of just like, we talked up to the time and then we had to be like, okay, well, blah. And you don't want to do the housekeeping after the hour mark, because that's just 10 more minutes of your time. It should be done in the time you're getting paid to do it. So that's you with your leadership energy. But I'm telling you, you're going to need to jump in. If you've ever been in therapy, therapists are very good at that. Our time is up. You could be mid-sentence trauma, crying, and they're like, our time is up. We'll continue that next time. And do you know why? One, because they're just taught to do that. And they have the full support of the whole therapy, you know, behind them. This is how we do things. But the other reason is they know that this is a never ending conversation.
Yeah.
It's just never, you could do therapy every day and always have something to talk about.
Right.
You know, with a good therapist and someone who's really exploring, the conversation ends when you die.
Mm-hmm.
So the therapist is like, we'll just pick this up next time, because they just know it's a never ending conversation. But if you're going into a session going, I've got to answer all of their questions, or I've got to we've got to bring this to a full conclusion.
Yeah.
That might not be possible. Yeah. Sometimes. It might be like, and sometimes I know in sessions with me, sometimes a client will come in and they'll be like, this is what we're going to talk about. This is what I want help on. Great, great, great. We talk the whole time and we actually come to a discovery where it's like, oh no, you actually want to do this. And it took us that long to get to the discovery of what's amazing.
Right.
But we need now another session to unpack that.
Yeah.
I'm not obligated just because we came to the idea. It took us to get there.
Right.
Not because of a failing. It's just that's the hashing out that needed to happen to come up with a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that. That was our time. That was what that time was meant to be for.
Yeah.
So that is you building that muscle.
Right.
What I'm just telling you is, oh, you're going to have to jump on it. You know, you can't wait for the opening and you can't wait for them to be watching the clock. You watch the clock, you jump on it, and you lead for those last 10 minutes really strongly.
Great.
Now, in the general sense of things, you becoming, which is really what we're talking about, is you taking ownership of your expertise. And I love that your current circumstances are giving you this feeling of like, I don't have a lot of time right now, so my time is very valuable. And I would say to you, keep that feeling for even the times when you have more spaciousness in your life, because your time is still very valuable.
Right, right.
Your time is as valuable as you decide it is.
Mm-hmm.
So part of getting better when you are a coach or a service provider or a consultant is you being intentional and taking a few minutes before you go into the session and go, what am I working on during this session? Yeah. I'm showing up and I'm going to answer their questions and I'm going to help them with whatever they need in their project. But also, this hour with these people is a chance for me to do what? Okay, to lead for the last 10 minutes. I'm definitely going to do that. To, you know, things that I've worked on over the years, talking less, letting the other person talk more. I've worked on all different things, but I've gone into sessions going, this is what I'm working on during this session to enhance my coaching skills or my leadership skills or even my verbal skills. I've done a lot of, I worked through a lot of podcast interviews focused on, ooh, okay, I don't want to say, I just want to stop my sentence, have silence, and then continue with the next thought. I don't need to put those bridge words. So I worked a lot of time. I was doing the podcast interview, but I was also using it as a chance to work on my own stuff. So that is one thing that can help you. And there are definitely, you know, books out there and all of, you know, the content on leadership and, you know, there's stuff that might be helpful. I'm trying to think of something that has been particularly helpful in that area for me. But I have to say, it's been a while since I was working on that kind of stuff, so nothing fresh comes to mind, but I know it's out there. I don't think you have far to go.
Well, that is very kind. I appreciate that.
I think it's more of you reminding yourself of who you are. You know, you're amazing and you have a lot to offer.
Thank you.
And I think that you might, a good journal thing might be to make a list of all the things you were told in your upbringing that a nice Southern girl does. Well, she doesn't interrupt. And she, you know, she wants everybody to be happy. She want like write a list down of like 10 things. And then you want to go, okay, but how does this actually translate into business? Because you being a leader and jumping in and cutting off the conversation so you can do your last 10 minutes of leadership, that's not you being not nice. That's very nice. They're going to feel good and close. They're going to have closure at the end of the session. They're going to know how, you know, it's going to be nice and clean ending. There's a lot of niceness in that. And you're not like shutting them down. You're just interjecting and roping them back, you know. So I think working your way out from under some of those programming things might be something you can. I would see how far you could get on your own of just journaling about this, like, and looking for opportunities to experiment. I had a very hard time receiving because I was raised to sort of like, don't have any needs. We would prefer it if you just were very self-sufficient and just didn't have needs. I was like, not a problem, totally can do that. So I realized I wasn't letting myself receive anything in life. And so I started to practice where if someone, you know, at a store was like, oh, would you like me to take that to the dressing room for you? Normally I'd be like, nope, it's fine. I'll just schlep around the store with all this stuff on my arm. Not a problem. I don't need, nope, I don't need to trouble you. Nope. I would be like, yes. Oh, do you
That's
like
me. That's
security?
totally me.
Yeah. Oh, I can spot them a mile away. Would you like us to carry that to your car? Nope, got it. I even have told my husband now, I'm like, look, I need you to open the door. And then I need you to stand there in case I have trouble getting in or out of the car because I'm at a certain age. And who knows? Like, we need to practice this because I was the type of girl, and we've known each other for, and we've been together like 33 years. We're just like, oh, I got it. Like, I don't need you to hold the door open for me. Like, I've got it. I'm self-sufficient. And I'm like, you know what? I may need this later. So let's start practicing. And he got really good at it, really. And it's great. And it every so often, depending on the shoes I'm wearing and the terrain, comes in very handy. You know, so yes, you can take my stuff. Oh, yes, I'd like some water, even though you already have water. That's just an example of what I was practicing. But when you look at this list and go, gosh, I do this all the time. I do this all the time. And that's not really serving me. How can I start practicing not doing that? Or doing the opposite, or doing this instead of that, or being like this in a room.
Well, I have a real opportunity to practice it this week. I'm going back to the film festival that I run the panels for. And so I'm going to be in front of people. I'm only moderating 2 out of 7 panels this time, but it's going to be a lot of humans and a lot of people, my people who are in the field that I'm working in. So I really like the idea of of me asking myself, what am I working on? Because I think what happens most of the time is that I'm so concerned about everybody else
and what they need and what they are actually expecting of me. And this asking myself the question, what am I working on? What am I trying to get out of this today? I think will alleviate some of the anxiety and that I often feel.
Yeah. And the anxiety is there, one, from old stuff.
Right.
In childhood, just, you know, comes up. Right. But it's also there because of the stories that you're telling yourself. Mm-hmm. Oh, I need everything to be perfect. Everybody needs to be happy. Everybody needs to, I just, it's like, oh, calm down. Now, this is so great. Okay. So I want you to write down a description of who you were being, not that you were being anything wrong, but just what was the energy of who you were being the last time you did this event? My guess is deferential and just making sure. And I think that you didn't have collegiate energy. My guess is you had a little bit of like subservient energy, like deferential, like I'm just here to make sure everything's great. Then I want you to write. So I want you to describe yourself and your energy and how you acted. Again, there's nothing wrong. We're just describing it.
Yeah.
And then I want you to write a description of who you would like to be this time around. What energy would you like to bring this and experiment? It's just an experiment. Experiment with this time around. I would suggest a collegiate energy. You're the fucking putting this shit on, man. You're making this stuff run. You're the leader here.
It's so funny that you say this because after the summer, you know, I was in England. I met with a dozen film festivals that I would just write and say, hi, I'm here. I'd like to meet you. And they did. And I'm like, I can ask anyone anything I want to. I have a series of questions that I need answered that will help me do my job. And I have access to the people who can answer them.
Yeah.
And it is, I had not thought about it as collegiate. I had thought of it as I have access, but it is collegiate. I'll have answers that they might need too. Okay.
Yeah. And then your experiment is to do that event, trying on for size, this different energy, and see how it goes. What's interesting about leadership energy, not arrogant energy, I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about leadership, ownership energy, is it actually takes less than deferential and hope everything, everyone's happy, managing other people's feelings. And, you know, it's like everyone's adults here. We can all take care of ourselves. It's going to go smoothly because I'm, you know, that's my job. Mm-hmm. I'm good at my job. I'm here to make you feel warm and welcome and comfortable.
Yeah. But
it's very different than, oh, I hope everything's okay.
Right.
So, nope. I'm assuming everything's okay. And I'm assuming you can handle yourself. And I'm here to help you and make you feel warm and comfortable. Just try that on for size.
Okay.
And see how it goes and see if that actually you use less energy doing that. Yeah. And you'll notice. Oh man, I totally slipped up there. Like they did this. And then I was like scrambling and I'm like, I didn't have to scramble for that. Like you'll notice. And that's important data too.
Yeah.
It's not about being perfect. It's just about trying this and experimenting and then going, ooh, what was that like? And where did it work? And where did I still, kicked into my old me, you know? And then next time you do it again, and then you just start adjusting yourself. And it gets easier and easier and you get more comfortable with it.
That's great. Yeah. That's great.
Ugh. I look forward to hearing about it.
Thank you so much, Christine.
You're welcome, Cricket.
I really appreciate it.
And I have to say this, it's very important to understand what your natural essence is essences, because then you can realize, oh, I don't have to overcompensate there.
Right.
I can dial that way back. For example, you are sweet. You have an essence of sweetness and charm and niceness. You are never, unless you're like actively trying to do it, but if you're just naturally being you, you're never going to come across as cold. You dialing back the nice to save yourself some energy, you're still going to come across as nice because it's right. your natural essence. You don't have to. So don't have that worry.
Okay.
A lot of people think, oh God, but if I start like owning my expertise and my power and my leadership, I'm going to appear arrogant. And I'm like, no, because you're a lovely human being. And sometimes with nice people, they think they're going to go all the way to cold. Like you've got miles to go before you would be perceived as cold. I think even if you were yelling at someone, they'd think, well, she's yelling, but she's also nice and warm. You know? Like your fear of how you're coming across, too harsh. I don't know. You've got really round, soft edges. You know, okay. Just as an essence. From what I've experienced and what I could extrapolate from what I've experienced. So don't worry that trying this collegiate leadership energy on is going to make you undesirably like less and less warm. No,
yeah.
It won't. It won't. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, the last question I have is from Anu. So if we can do this. We can do this. We have a few minutes left. Anu is a cash flow tiger. Arts and social justice consulting, facilitation, strategic planning, also acting, performing, cultural organizing, creating wonderful projects. I've seen her do her stage stuff and she's amazing. So, hello. The victories. You've been writing songs nonstop. You're currently waiting on two fellowships that you've applied for. You completed a health cleanse with flying colors, and you're meditating and journaling every day. That sounds very juicy and lots of self-care in there. Yeah. Okay. So you have been invited to submit a proposal to fund your artistic work as connected to the community building work of organization of an organization. You're having a block around it, a feeling unclear of where to start, even though you actually do know where to start. So what's this block about?
I think I feel kind of all over the place. So I think it was a helpful reminder, one of the things that you talked about a little earlier around the ADHD stuff, because I feel like I'm in so many different directions and it's great to have all this creativity and energy, but I feel like I'm picking up lots of things and then either dropping them and then going on to something else. And it's really hard. It's been hard to just have unscheduled time or time where I'm just like, slow down and actually pause and think about what you want. And I think if I can do that, I have people that are waiting to give me feedback about my proposal. I have another organization that said they want to like help fund this work too. I have like, there's all these kind of things and I just feel kind of disorganized and just kind of, yeah, like kind of breathless.
Do you have a sense of what kind of support would be useful to you to help some of these projects come to completion?
I mean, I think the next step, well, for this thing, this proposal, I think the next step is review what I've already done, because I called together all of the funding, all the applications that I, and cobbled it together. And then I'm kind of coming back to this original vision statement and all this stuff that I've already written. I guess it's just like so much, So it just is going to take time to kind of go through it and distill it and really sit with it to be like, is this actually oriented towards what I actually want without trying to organize around what I think they want or what I think would be beneficial to this organization and just actually come from a more centered place. And then I think that's where it gets hard because I'm constantly evaluating what other people need and want and where the gaps are, and to the point that I sometimes forget, like, she didn't ask, like, how can you support that organization and their overall vision and all the things they're already doing? The work I'll do will do that, but being able to come from the vantage point of like, this is what I want and I want to spend my time on. This is how it's connected to what you know what I mean? And so I feel like it feels a little challenging to kind of remember my own mind, I guess. Does that make sense?
So what you've just expressed to me is you know what you need to do next is synthesizing all the stuff that you've gathered. And also framing it so that it's answering the questions that you're, being asked rather than extra stuff. You kind of know what to do next. And I think what I'm asking you is, do you have an idea of the type of support that you would need to get that stuff done? The taking the action of doing what you know is the next steps.
Okay. Well, the first thought when you said that first, maybe I kind of veered away maybe from answering it because I'm like,
No,
oh
it was
wait,
good.
you
It was fine.
literally just asked the same thing before. I was like, oh yeah, okay. Maybe I didn't really answer that. It was so my partner actually has been a really great source of support and Cricket knows him actually. And so I was thinking what I set myself to do is to write up a one page draft of just like a high level kind of thing. And then check in with him by the end of the week and have him look at it. And then based on that conversation, go back, develop out, maybe it'll end up being like something like 5 pages or something, with a budget and everything. Probably go back to him, but then at that point, review it with another person who works with the organization who's asked me the same thing. Like, is there a way that you could get paid to do what you want, and have that be part of our organization, And then at that point, there's a whole process that'll take place, There's like their development person, and then then I'll actually go to like the foundation for, the folks that are invited me. And I figured that'll also be a conversation and of some kind of back and forth process too, as well. Yeah.
Okay. By the way, any way that you answer a question of mine is illuminating.
Okay.
So even if someone veers off, that tells me a lot of stuff. Like it's never a waste of time. Okay, so what you have just done is outlined all of the next steps. I think I should write a one-page kind of overview draft, then have my partner look at it and we'll talk it through. And then I'll expand that to like about 5 pages plus a budget. And then at that point, my partner can also look at it, but somebody else should review it. And then when that's ready, like you've outlined the steps. So my question is, when you say, okay, well, I think the next thing to do is
Oh, it's how do I
one
get
page
it?
overview by the end of the week so that he can look at it. And my question is, what interferes with you actually doing that in the course of that week?
I
Where are
guess
you getting stuck?
I feel scared to do it.
And have you sat down and had a talk with yourself about that?
I guess not.
Just last night, I had a talk with myself about why I was scared to do something. I was like, what's going on? What are you thinking? Where are those thoughts coming from? How are we gonna, what's another, like, how can we, I realized I was like not doing it. And I was like, why are you not? You know what needs to be done. And if that doesn't work for you to have a talk with yourself, you might need to have a talk with someone else. But it might also work for you just to have a talk with you. Because, so that's one thing that might prevent you from at the end of the week having that one page thing written. You fear. Is there anything else that might prevent you from having that page done? What else?
I kind of just noticed that was coming up, would this feeling that I don't deserve to have this opportunity. Which is like,
And when we
sucks
are
to say that.
scared or think we're not worthy, just any weird traumatic thought, it doesn't matter how clear the plan of action is. We won't do the action. And you're very clear on what you need to do. You know the next steps. You're good at figuring that out. That's not where the vague fog of confusion comes from. I don't know what to do. No, you do know what to do, which means the confusion isn't around that. It's something else. And it's actually not confusion. It's fear. So it be and this is important because if we keep trying to deal with the confusion and getting you less confused, that's not the problem. That's not actually the root of the problem. In order for you to get that one page to your partner by the end of the week for him to review it, you have to put your butt in the chair and do it. And the reason your butt isn't getting into the chair is because you're afraid. And so that's what needs a little bit of time and attention right now, just enough to get your butt in the chair to write the page. Does that make sense? Am I onto it? Is that accurate?
I was
Okay,
like,
I
I
don't
was
know.
writing that out to you, and when I wrote it in, I was like, I'm having a block around feeling unclear as to where to start, even though I do know where to start. And it's like, pause.
I had a feeling it wasn't that you didn't know the steps.
And that's the weirdest. Oppression is just so funky, and it's like it's this cloud that makes you think you don't know that you don't have your mind when like you've had it all along and you're totally an expert in your own experience, and it is a process of our own emancipation to unlearn anything that tells us that our mind is not good, so.
Yep, it is the work you do in the world. And then you're just tasked right now with doing it a little bit for yourself. Yeah. And then for everybody listening too, if you find that you're not getting anywhere doing it, trying to work through it by yourself, then you need to have a conversation with somebody else who can help you work through it. Sometimes we can do it on our own, and sometimes we need somebody else.
Yeah. It's funny. I've written like 31 songs this month. And I think the acupuncturist I went to said she thinks it's connected to the cleanse, you know, because you get clear and you get like energized. And I was actually, I started toying around actually on part of this call. I was like, ooh, I had to capture, there were some notes on like developing one of the songs that was coming to me. So I was just jotting those notes.
Oh, Anu, I really want you to feel so worthy of it all. That would be my big wish for you. I wish I was a genie and could deliver. So you had a second question. You had begun delving into Instagram and TikTok. I feel that I need to communicate more clarity on my business offerings and how Instagram and TikTok are strategies for the business. So that is a bigger, I mean, we can really like talk about that. But you do kind of want to get clear on why am I doing this before you start investing a lot of time into it. You can certainly experiment, but experimenting is different than I'm just doing this with no plan. Those are two different things.
Right now I talked to a friend of mine who's built a following of about 31,000 people on Instagram. And I asked her for some advice. And so I actually just started sharing clips of the songs that I've been writing on both Instagram and TikTok. But you're right. It is in an experimentation phase. It's just about getting to know the platform in that way. But I think it would be confusing to people who don't really know me as a singer nor a songwriter. But given the trajectory, it actually can make sense. It's about telling the story and framing things in a way that gives people some of that context to know where the growth, you know, how the growth has been happening and how it's connected to this next project, actually. So,
yeah. Yeah. So we can definitely talk about that more if you want to.
But focus on the, like, where that fear is coming from and like moving through that a little more.
Yep. Yeah. Because that will allow you to do the steps that you already know are the steps. Yeah. Okay. Thanks for hanging on. Everybody, welcome to October. And I'll see you in 2 weeks if you need to be here.
Thank you, Christine.
Thanks, Christine.
Thanks, everybody.
So much.
Hi, Tricia. Bye-bye.